So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be discussing episode 4 of season 4 of Love During Lockup. On this episode, Samantha is worried about Rick at their high school reunion without her. Shantae has her picture sent to True returned because of True's other behavior. Ayana finds out about Jamal's marriage timeline that it's a little longer than hers. And Candace finds out that Andrew will do anything for her, like going over budget. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hey, Mr. O.
How are things going with you?
Things are going fine with me, but you're sounding a little under the weather there.
Yeah. I got a little something. I don't know what's been going around. And I thought one of those things that I thought was allergies and then wasn't. And then I had a super busy weekend. So fun times to be not feeling well and having to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of these people are having also equally the same kinds of fun times you are. But talking about running around having to do things, let's talk about Andrew and Candace. So Andrew is going to check out Candace's apartment that he got for her. She's supposed to be getting out of prison in just 10 to 12 hours. He has bought some furniture in his truck, but he also went furniture shopping, where we see he spent over $2,500 and went well over budget by at least $1,000. Denise, who is described as a mother figure and friend and former inmate, stops by to check out the apartment. She's a friend of Candace's. She offers to help Andrew set up the apartment as the delivery men come to set up all the furniture that Andrew just bought. Denise recognizes that, man, this guy will do anything Candace asks. Candace calls and Denise, you know, takes it in the other room and tells Candace in private that Andrew is just, he's really sprung and she could really ask for anything. So you should really like take advantage of this situation. She also doubts that Candace will move to New Jersey for him. And Candace repeats that she refuses to leave Nevada until she has some sort of custody over her son. But she claims that her life is in Andy's hands since he's the one who set her up with her apartment and a truck. Candace is excited to get out and start with a clean slate, and Andrew is also excited to see her. Candace calls him with no word or update on her release. She's bummed because she's just ready to get out. They are also still waiting to hear if Candace gets approved to parole to the apartment or to halfway house. So there is a possibility that the apartment may be empty when Andy leaves. Andrew rattles off all the things he's spent and done to be with Candace and says it's all worth it. But do you think it's all worth it?
No, because she's not going to stay with him.
No.
Like, this is not going to last. I mean, like, it's not worth anything.
Why is it obvious to literally everyone but him? And I accidentally called him Andy, but it very much reminds me of Andy and Brittany.
Yeah, I mean, Candace is throwing off more, Destiny vibes to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
In terms of that. But like, yeah, when the friend is like, wow, you'll really do anything for her, won't you? And he's like, oh yeah, of course. I know money is no object. I'll do anything. And she's like, I'm gonna go in the other room and make a phone call. Like, what? That doesn't perk your ears up or anything.
Right.
Like, no, you have no idea. You could get so much more out of this guy.
Like, yeah.
It's so ridiculous because I also can kind of see the train coming. That same behavior of a Destiny and Andy and Brittany kind of the same behavior, same thing, right? They hitch their wagon to somebody because they're gold digging and they know they can give them a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? And then they don't reciprocate and get mad and like, it was your responsibility to take care of me. You had to do it because I put everything in your hands. And it was like, well, whose choice was that to put everything in his hands?
Yeah, just the entitlement of Destiny, though. Like trying to get money from Sean, like way after they're broken up, like you somehow, you know, said, so therefore you must honor your word until the end of time. Like, it's just ridiculous how entitled, but even Candace, like everything that she said that we've heard, she's so excited to get out because of all the stuff.
All the stuff.
All the stuff that Andrew is getting her. And that, like, and you think about it, she's 29. To be 29 years old, been in prison for how long, you get out and you just get a brand new truck, a fully furnished apartment? Like, in what world does this woman deserve all that stuff?
Right. No, that is crazy. And somebody else gave up almost everything for it. And she's going to be the one who feels like he's doing her wrong because he's not getting her enough.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's where this is going. Or at least that's what we've seen before in cases like this. So I imagine this is where this is going too. But right. Like, I don't have a car that nice.
Yeah.
Like, I do have a fully furnished home, but that's different.
But you bought it. I mean, when I was 29, I could have used those things, right? And it's like, I didn't have anyone giving me handouts of, like, all these things. And, you know, and it is really interesting to me because, like, and this is why, like, this bothers me is because she does have this entitlement just like Destiny. Like, well, I have nothing, so I should have things. It's like, yeah, you have nothing because you made some pretty, shitty life choices that landed you in prison. So, yeah, that's why you have nothing.
But those choices ultimately came from... especially in Destiny, we don't know as much about Candace this time, but those choices came from them deciding, well, I should have things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'll take them.
Right.
Like, and then I'll defraud people for them and I'll hustle for them. And I shouldn't have to work for things. I just have them.
Yeah.
I deserve to have them because I want them. Right. And they just can't see past that. And so this is now like, well, yeah, I did the good thing and I found somebody who's willing to give it to me. That's what I did to deserve it.
Yeah.
So I wanted it, and so now it's mine, and that's how life works. And of course, it's not, because you work for what you want.
Right. But speaking of, like, how big of an idiot is Andrew? What is the purpose of even coming up with a budget for anything if you're just going to blow the budget, have, like, no regard over, like, oh, I was supposed to spend $1,500 on furniture. I know I'm going to spend $2,500 on furniture. It's like, what's the point?
That's not a little over budget.
Right.
That's significantly over budget. Yeah. Like 66% over budget. Like, it's ridiculous, right? And I'm sure I know how it happened. I know how it went down. He had a budget. He picked out $1,500 worth of stuff. And then he called her and she said, oh, yeah, and this, and this, and this. Oh, look at that. Oh, walk me around the store with your phone. Oh, I want that too. Oh, get that. And it's never – because I'm sure she does that thing where she asks for stuff without even – well, how much is that? Doesn't matter. I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, but why do you have a budget in the first place? It's because you can't afford things above your budget. So it's like, I just don't understand like where his mindset is, where he is just spending money that he doesn't have and he can't afford this person. And I don't know why he's got no backbone that he can't say no.
Well, that comes up with other people too. Like, it's not just people like that. I guarantee he didn't go in to get that truck that he got. That is a custom lifted, like not too old truck. That is an expensive ass truck that he has, right? I'm sure he went in being like, I would like a regular, just, you know, been in a truck and walked out with that because he just got boosted and sold to. Like, he is just the kind of person that salesmen see and they start licking their chops. They're like, this guy, I got him. Mm-hmm. But that's also because he's like, just kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Because like, and the thing that got me about him this time was when Candace was like, when he's like, well, I really hope she moves to New Jersey. And she's immediately like, I'm not moving to New Jersey. That's not happening.
I mean, she's
like,
and he's
like,
not...
I hope it happens anyway. And she's like, it's not happening. And like, why do you think it's going to happen then, guy?
Yeah. This is not the first time we've heard that. She said that the last time. And he's one of those people, like what you're saying, he's really dumb and delusional. Like, he is holding on to this random line in her prison pen pal ad that said willing to relocate. And because it was mentioned on her profile once, all of a sudden he's hanging his hope on, well, she said she was willing to relocate, so that must mean she's going to move to New Jersey with me.
Yeah. And especially when it's been like, how many times reinforced it as like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He's still like, well, I think she's going to do it. And it's like, he also, that's the same person who thinks this person isn't taking advantage of him for money. So it's like, I don't know how you can get through to him if he's literally not believing what he's being told.
Right.
Like, directly. All right. So, speaking of other people that probably shouldn't believe what they're being told, let's talk about Shantae and True.
Gosh.
So Shantae starts off really confused because She gets an envelope in the mail, and it's one, it's a bunch of pictures that she sent to True, like actual photograph in the mail, not on the phone, pictures. So she tells us that she sends him pictures pretty much every day. Like he even asks, he's like, well, she misses a day. It's like, huh, where are the pictures at? And this is the first batch that's been rejected by the prison, you know, returned to sender. So in her irritation, she's like, I'm really irritated. I need to make some oatmeal. Oh, and her daughter Monte comes in, and that's who she's going to talk about her sexy pictures that she sends to her boyfriend is her daughter. She especially the part where she's like, I don't even know why they sent them back. You can't see a nipple or anything. It's like, Mom, I do not want to talk about your nipples. That's enough. So anyway, she calls the prison to ask what happened, and they say they don't really have any specifics for her. They're just like, well, usually if somebody can't get photos anymore, it's because they receive photos that had explicit nudity, or they somehow receive contraband, or because they're in solitary. Now, she knows he's not in solitary because she's been talking to him. So it's got to be something about contraband or explicit pictures. The caveat, though, is that it might be all the mail that got banned, because it's not just the pictures from Shantae that got banned. It's all the mail that gets banned that comes into him if he gets an explicit picture from anyone, including another woman. So now she's mad because she knows she didn't send any nudes. So what's going on? So she can hardly wait to call. And when she does, he picks up and she's just like, well, who else is sending you pictures? Are they sending you any nudes? And then part of this is because we get Monte is suspicious. Her daughter is suspicious that because her mom is always looking for love in the wrong places and always does former her partners and to get back. So Monte doesn't trust True and thinks he is definitely talking to somebody else. So before long, he calls. They are talking on the phone and he's completely unaware. Shantae doesn't bring it up right away. He doesn't know what she suspects. So she starts by like, hey, my pictures got returned. You know what's up with that? So he's like, I have no idea. That doesn't make any sense. So then she ends up explicitly asking him if he's talking to anyone else, and we get a scene break. So we come back. True has this – he's starting to stick with the story that they've been rejecting his mail. It must have been rejecting my mail, and I don't know why. So he says other people are getting his photos rejected too, just like his friend Two Braids. And then he comes up with this story. So his friend Two Braids –
Is trying
to talk to women.
Oh my gosh.
True was just looking out for his bro and wants to make sure he's talking to the right women. So he said, hey, Two Braids, send me some pictures of the women you're talking to, and I'll see if they're okay, if they're good enough for you. And he suspects that I guess my homie must have sent me some nudes. There must have been some bad pictures in that. And now we're both on the reject list.
Oh my gosh.
So those pictures, it's just Shantae does not believe this at all. Like, she's upset. Because she's like, all right, okay, now the real story, who's sending you nude photos? And True plays offended. Like, he's like, what in the world makes – he's like, in what world does it make sense that I tell a female, just let me see your titties? And I was like, this one?
A normal one?
This one? Yeah. So Shantae is still insecure because she also – this thing where he's only ever dated white women before. So, you know, it's like, well, none of the women you've been to before look like me. So she's worried he's still trying to indulge in that while he's with her. So she – and at the end, she kind of tells us she wants him to not be talking to someone else but thinks that he probably is. But it's kind of not doing anything definitive, it sounds like, because she doesn't have proof. So in terms of convoluted stories, where does this one rank?
Oh my gosh. It was the worst excuse. I was like, no, this guy's an idiot. Like, oh yeah, let me check out your pictures and see if they're okay. Okay, let's say that this is even, you know, a legit story. Like, you're trying to get nudes from your friend.
Yes.
It's still shady.
It was the best case scenario in this, in what actually happened,
right,
is his friend was like, oh man, this girl sent me some pictures. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'll send him over here, buddy.
Right.
I want to see him too. Like, that's the best case scenario. Yeah. He was definitely trying to look at nudes. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. The worst case scenario is he's got other like women out there sending him nudes.
Yes.
And there's right. no friend. The friend is just like a scapegoat in this case, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Or he thinks he's slick and is sending the nudes through his friend. so he can have plausible deniability later.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think he is, though, because it definitely sounded to me like he made that story up on the fly.
Oh, he definitely did. Even when production was trying to follow up with him with their interview in the prison, it's like that looked like a five-year-old guilty kid.
Oh, he had a shit-eating grin a mile wide.
Yeah, and he was like trying to hide under his hands, and he was like shifting around. You're like, what are you, a child? Like, what is this?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was like a kid making up a story that it just the kids do. They don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that? Why would your teacher just get out a jar of peanut butter in the middle of class for no reason? It's like, oh,
but they did it. Yeah.
But he did. He totally did.
Oh, like, my gosh. Okay. Ridiculous. Yeah. I'm hoping, because Shantae seems to be a little bit more down to earth than some of these other somewhat delusional women that we've seen. I'm hoping that she'll just kick him to the curb. Like,
I'm hoping, but I feel like she might be one of these people, not that's going to necessarily believe his story, but to be like, he's probably talking to other women, but as I don't have proof, I'm just going to have to set that aside and try to move forward. And like, that's,
I could see that. Dumb. But at the same time, if there was any kind of definitive proof, she doesn't come off as the kind of person who's like, but I love him, so, you know, that's more important than anything else. That's more important than the blatant cheating, you know, like some of these, like, right. partners yeah. well, they always tend
do that,
to be.
But I love him so much, there's no way he'd do it again. It's right. like, what does that have to
he
do with anything?
He loves me so much, he would never do it again, right? So, yeah. And she doesn't come off as delusional. At least she hasn't yet. So
right,
there
right.
is
we,
some
we haven't
hope.
Quite seen that yet, but there's room for growth in that area for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of jealousy here, let's move on to Rick and Samantha. So Rick is attempting to ride a bike when Samantha calls, and Rick asks her if he can just call her back because he really needs to be aware of his surroundings when riding a bike. He calls Samantha back and she asks him if he's going to go to their high school reunion. And he said he was planning on it, but Samantha's concerned because the last time he went to the reunion, he ended up hooking up with a former classmate. But he claims it wasn't a thing. It just lasted a couple weeks. We get a flashback from just the day before of Rick talking with a classmate, Sandy. And she is excited because he's telling her he is going to the reunion. Samantha is afraid of temptation for Rick, and she's suspicious that Rick hasn't told anyone that they are engaged. Rick doesn't want to tell anyone because he thinks people will be judgmental about how fast they're moving, and he wants to get to know Samantha better to see, you know, get a better idea if it's really going to work. Rick thinks that it should be up to him to decide when to tell other people about the engagement. He's also concerned about getting married again since he's been married a couple of times, but he's also open to getting married. He also thinks that there might be some pressure to get married sooner than he would feel comfortable with since Samantha can't leave Idaho for Arizona unless they are married. Samantha calls him again, and clearly she's jealous about him going to the reunion. She thinks it'll be a test to see if he falls off the wagon since he's not supposed to be drinking. He started drinking around 15 years old, and he says that drinking is what ruined his second marriage, but not the first, just the second one. He promises Samantha that the person he hooked up with the last time isn't going to be there, but we find out that Sandy, the person who is implied he hooked up with, is actually going to be there. Rick says he made an ass of himself at the last reunion, and he knows that it will be different this time around since he's going to be sober. Sandy is talking about Rick to some of the girls at the reunion, saying how, you know, they were hooking up a few years back, and another girl, CD, is asking about the timeline because she wanted to know if there was any overlap because she was also hooking up with Rick. Sandy and CD both confess to loving Rick, not just hooking up with him. They said like they loved him. CD says that he called her a lot more when he was drinking. Samantha calls in the middle of the reunion, and Samantha says that the women there better respect the fact that they're engaged. Sandy walks up in the middle of their kind of bickering about, you know, telling people whether they're engaged or not. And Sandy asks Samantha if, you know, they're in a relationship, Rick and Samantha. And Rick tells them and says, yeah, I guess we're engaged. Sandy plays it off and congratulates them. Samantha tells her to keep an eye out on her man. Sandy claims that Rick was in love with her for a very long time, and if he were single, it would be different. But she's not trying to jump into anyone's relationship, so she's perfectly fine with backing off. Samantha thinks that Rick will move to Idaho when she is released because she wants to be around her granddaughters. Rick is concerned about moving costs because he's retired and on a pension, so he hasn't budgeted for really having anyone else being in his life. Samantha thinks it's very stressful how he is 1 foot in and 1 foot out of their relationship. Okay, so do you get that impression that Rick is 1 foot in and 1 foot out of the relationship?
Kind of. I mean, it depends on what you mean, but I feel like he's just not comfortable telling other people for some reason. But I don't necessarily know if it's for the reason she suspects, mm-hmm. which is the reason, which is, you know, that there's like a half a dozen women that are just constantly throwing themselves at him.
Right. Yeah.
And he could have anyone anytime he wants. Like,
yeah, I got the impression that he is very worried and concerned that it won't work out with Samantha. So he's right. really not trying to put all his eggs in that basket because there are a lot of sacrifices to be made. And that's to me like where it's kind of the 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He definitely isn't over the top. Like, I love this woman. I'll do anything for her. Right. You know, he definitely seems to have, I think, a healthy amount of skepticism about this whole situation, which certainly does come off like he's just not that head over heels for her. So I can see how right. she views that as a, oh, he's like a 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
I mean, I think it's, you're not wrong. I just think it's weird the people that he's keeping it from in terms of the, mm-hmm. you know, sacrifices to be made. Sandy and CD will hook up with him under any circumstances.
Yeah, I know, right? Because like, they love him. It doesn't matter.
That yeah. does not matter. Like, this is one where if he was single and he wanted to be like three-way guys, they'd be into it, right? They're yeah, going, sure. right? And so it was like, well, I'm engaged. I'm married. And they'll be like, okay, nah, that's fine. I'm good. yeah. Let's keep going.
Yeah, we right? respect that situation. But if things were different, if you were single, whole different game.
yeah. I don't even know that they do respect it. I feel like if they were like, well, I'm not married, so
yeah,
I don't mind if you mess around. Because I also feel like these three people knew each other in high school. It's like a weird still, you know, you kind of get that thing a little bit when you're around people that you went to high school with mm-hmm. where you're still a little bit your high school self. And this keeps going when you're 65 and they're just like, he was the cool guy. And the girls are just like, oh, Rick. Oh, we love Rick. He's right here.
Yeah. I mean, we keep getting pictures of him in high school. It's like that guy back then.
I mean, it was 83 and they had feathered hair and stuff. Sure.
Yeah, but it's not even the hair. I just didn't find him super attractive. I think he's more attractive as like a person like that's, you know, age appropriate now. Like he looks pretty good for his age.
Yeah, I think high school him was the life of the party, mm. right? I think he drank a lot and was around and just was everybody the center of attention all the time, right? Yeah. I think a lot of women just go for, well, if he's the center of attention, if everybody's paying attention to him, that's the one for me.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of the impression I got. And I get the impression that, I mean, it was hard for him to go. And she talked about his drinking and falling off the wagon because these two women were shit-faced, man.
Oh, yeah.
Sandy was gone. She was blitzed.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get where it's kind of like – and, you know, I'm sure if he was also blitzed like her, like, I definitely see how making an ass of himself and hooking up with with people is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, I don't know. I also – we have another moving situation here.
Yeah,
like both
yeah.
of them are just assured that the other person's going to move to them. And I don't know how that's going to work either.
Well, and I can kind of see from, you know, Samantha's point of view and even Candace's point of view.
Yeah.
Like how sure. they both think, oh, well, I have kids on my – that's the reason why I have to stay where I am. So they're going to have to figure it out because kids are involved, right? Because Candace, right. I think she is going to end up saying to Andrew, like, you know, well, this is my – I can't remember if it's a son or a daughter. This is my kid. I can't move. Oh, it's a son now that I remember. And uh-huh. I feel like Samantha's going to do the same thing. I can't leave. These are my granddaughters. You know, and yeah. they're going to play the kid card to go. And I think they think that if they play the kid card, that they're not going to have to be the ones to move.
I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Like, as someone with kids, yeah. I don't feel like it's some dirty trick that you're pulling out with a card. You're just like, I have kids. I will not move.
Yeah.
The choices are we can break up or you can move here.
Right.
Those are the choice. There is no choice where I'm moving to where you are. Mm-hmm. That is not an option. Right. So now the ball's in your court. You can make your decision.
Right.
But I don't think they think like that. I think both people think they can talk them out of leaving their kids or, you know, granddaughters, leaving the children, mm-hmm. which is kind of like, I don't know, man. Why would you? That's one of those things that instantly makes them seems like they'll be a bad partner. It's like, yeah. Why did you leave your kids? Like, to be with you, it's like, yeah, but you left your kids. I don't know if I can trust you now. You just up and left your kids.
Yeah. I just think it's, like, not a good situation. Like, Rick is explicitly saying that he did not plan for anyone else to be in his life. From a financial standpoint, I think that's what he was really saying.
And now that he's in retirement, he's on coast. He's right. Not bringing in anything else, right?
Yeah, but I think that also kind of goes to show that he's just... You know, and it's one thing if you're single and you only have to think about yourself, but I just feel like this is someone who's just always going to think about themselves, you know, and right. I don't know. I think that's part of his hesitation. He doesn't know if it's going to work out because he's like, okay, wait, so what do I have to do exactly? I don't know if I want to do all that. I'm a retired man. I'm not trying to move and spend more money than I don't have. Like, I'm just trying to be retired, you know? And this seems like too much work.
For him, he's been married, what, twice? This would be his third.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like he's definitely got a lot of, I don't need to do this.
Right.
Like, I've done this twice already. Like, this is not a life priority for, checking off my list. I already checked this off my list twice. I'm good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that. Speaking of people who might have been married more times than they thought they were.
Oh, gosh.
That's going on Jamal. So we were one day away. We're one day away from Ayanna's sentencing, and she's going with her. She's getting in the car with her brother and her kids. So she tells us that whatever happens, whatever the sentence ends up being, it's going to be 90 days in confinement. It's just a matter of how much of that confinement is in prison and how much of it is in house arrest. So her brother Jameet can sympathize because he's been locked up as well. He was locked up for 4 years. So he gives her some advice about how to get through the time. And as they're pulling up to the park where they're going to meet Jamal's mom and sisters, and Jamal gives her a call. So she's bracing for this family to just all gang up on her. So she hasn't seen this mom in years. And the last time they saw each other, Ayanna was just a friend. It wasn't as a potential partner, fiance, wife, all this stuff. So this might be quite a different meeting since they're, I guess she says engaged. I don't think there's actually been a proposal. It's kind of this in-between thing. So the wedding can't come soon enough for her. And she's getting along with this family is going to be important. But then Jamal just keeps talking to Ayanna, and Jameek says something about, and then it drops something about waiting 2 years. And she's like, waiting 2 years for what? And he's like, 2 years to get into the groove and get to know each other. And she's like, waiting 2 years for what? And then eventually end up saying, waiting 2 years to get married. And that is not what she had in mind. Mm. Not her timeline at all. So then after getting irritated by that, she gets to the park and Jameek drops them off and rolls. And they walk across a big old field to meet the family. And they start off with a round of handshakes, and then they go over to the tot lot. And the mom, whose name is Christine, is hoping this is going to be the last new girl she's going to have to meet from Jamal's. Even though she's like, I'm hoping it is. I don't really think it is, though. I don't think he can do this.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know that Ayanna can do that, given that she's a stripper and all. She's like, yeah, with your job? Mm-hmm. So they ask her what it is that makes her the one for him, and all this kind of standard stuff. Well, we love each other and stuff like that. And eventually Christine is like, well, I wish you luck because I know my son and I'll be really surprised if this works out. So then Jamal calls and we get him on speakerphone. He gets in on the conversation and he brings up, Ayanna's attitude about this 2 year, what he calls it, a grace period before they get married. And his family, kind of finds that her idea about it completely reasonable. It's like, what are we going to be engaged for 2 years before you? What are you doing? But then one wants to slip about how this is his second marriage, which is also new information for Ayanna. So he clarifies that he was married, though it was just a religious marriage. It was just an Islamic marriage. It just means we can't, you can't date if you're married religiously, and it wasn't legal. So She doesn't buy that, though. She insists that she specifically asked him whether he was married legally, and he was like, no. And she's like, what about Islamically? And he was like, no. But then she kind of goes into this mode where she doesn't want to have that conversation now. She's like, just fine. Okay, I guess you didn't tell me. Fine, fine, fine. And it just keeps going on. So regardless, it's just not – she just is like, whether I asked you specifically or not, it's not just something you just – oops, I just plumb forgot to tell you I was married before. Like, so turns out that he was married to, I put down his baby mama, but it's really more like one of his baby mamas. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that Ayana knows about and knows they were together and knows they have a child together, but didn't know they were married. So Ayana has, you know, met this woman before because she's one of his four baby mamas. He has six kids and four baby mamas.
Oh, gosh.
And he says, it was not a big deal. They were only married for a couple of months. And I'm an open book with you. And she's like, what do you think an open book means? So all the while, the sisters are just kind of over on the side laughing and also agreeing with her. So it's definitely something that should have come up before. So now Ayana is just waiting for the next bombshell that's going to drop because she has got two in this episode. So I feel like the least surprised people in this whole thing were the mom and sisters, where he started doing this, I've been married before, and started lying there. And it's like, oh, there he is. Yeah. That's the Jamal we know.
Yeah, I don't know why people, like, ignore the past, right? This guy has lied to you. I mean, to me, that would be the most concerning. Like, let's, you know, pretend that he's someone who does tell the truth. And we could believe the fact that, you know, they're going to get married as soon as he gets out. Because remember, we got a clip of him basically saying that to her because she was like, oh, by my birthday. And he was like, OK, by your birthday. Well, that's got to be within a year. I don't know when he's going to get out, but, you know, that's got to be within a year. And for him to turn around and say 2 years and like insist that that's, you know, what's going to happen. This guy cannot be trusted. And at that point, you should just be like, okay, so I can no longer believe anything you have to say.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I would have started getting that clue before with the four baby mamas and six babies. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, because once there's four other women that he's been that involved with, has children with.
Yeah.
Then it's like, I need some concrete reassurances that this is different somehow.
Yeah.
Because how am I just not lining up to be number five?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, I mean, clearly, mom thinks she's going to be number five, right?
Yeah.
And so, it is very much like, part of it is just an arrogance. Like, oh, I can get away with this. They're not going to ask me about this. They're not going to find out about this. Like, who cares? And then the ridiculousness of him just saying, well, it's not a big deal. I don't understand why you're overreacting. I was like, yeah, it's a big deal to find out that your fiance was married before and you didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I don't – and honestly, like, I – just because of her and how bratty she was to her mom.
Yeah,
and,
for sure. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like I want her to be proven wrong. But at the same time, it's like not if there's kids and whatever else involved.
Yeah, I don't want her to be proven wrong necessarily like this. I want her to be proven wrong at the thing she's bratty about.
Yeah.
And she's not necessarily bratty about – being attached to this man, like that's something she's earnest about, right? And isn't like, and you're supposed to be attached to the person you're marrying, right? That's you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to drive when you're high. You're not supposed to just drop your kids at your grandma at your mom's house and dip and go booty clap at your husband in the bathroom. But so these are the things I want her to have to deal with, not necessarily like, oh, I just love the wrong guy. Like that's just sad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right. So we did not hear from – we had two couples that we didn't hear from, Michael and Joey and Tenny and Rob.
That's right. Yeah. It was a short episode in terms of the number of couples, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So out of the group you saw today, who would you say is your student of the week?
I would say Shantae just for not believing ridiculous lies.
Yeah, I agree. I mentioned before, I thought she was very down to earth in this episode. So I also went with Shantae. What about your dunce?
I said Jamal. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. This is just too easily disproven lies that you're just rolling with like deep back to back. And it's like, come on. How are you supposed to make that work?
Yeah. I went with Andrew for blowing his furniture budget Like, come on, dude. What are you doing here?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. What about your life lesson?
I guess my life lesson is, I mean, don't go trolling for hookups at your high school reunions, man. like that's because those, especially these days. I mean, maybe it's a little bit before, but like these days. Well, first of all, high school reunions don't like that. They don't even happen. It was at somebody's house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like that's just stuff. It's going to be like that is a little bit too close to shitting where you eat. Like for me, yeah. For me, just like, oh, God, like this is especially when the person you're dating is somebody from high school that you dated. It's yeah. Like, why are we – let's expand our bubble a little bit, man. Like, let's move away from the same people we were hooking up when we were 18.
Right. My life lesson is for Ayana and Jamal. Make sure that you're both on the same page about timelines for major relationship milestones. Because, you know, especially that was so embarrassing for her to have to, like, say that in front of his whole family. You know, and it's like they are not on the same page. So, yeah. Don't lie about what page you're on, too, because that – I mean, it wasn't completely Ayana's fault. Jamal was, like, lying to her about it, so.
Yeah. And then lying to her and then making her feel like she was the one who was being ridiculous, being absurd. Like, whoa, whoever said that? And it's like, you literally did say that.
Yeah, we got you on camera, dude.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, this was kind of a brief-ish episode. Do we know if we have any other couples joining in?
I don't think we do, because but I feel like this time...
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of them leaving soon, right? Because Candace and Andrew, they're almost released.
She's almost out.
Yeah.
Tenny and Rob, I think, is going to be a big one for next time. I think I feel like we saw a lot of things with the cameras. Well, I say next time, but we didn't even get a next time on. We got the rest of his season on.
Oh, interesting. So I wonder if there's...
I'm curious if there's going to be an episode next week.
Yes, that was my thought. Either that or, like, I don't know, maybe next week is the rest of the season.
Yeah. But usually they're like, tune in for the explosive season finale.
Right.
And they didn't do that. They were just like, this season on Love During Lockup. So
yeah. Well, do we
who
know
knows what goes on?
Yeah. Do we know if there's a Love After Lockup scheduled anytime soon?
I would say this show is one of the worst shows I watch about like letting you know what's happening, when it's coming, when it's starting, when it's stopping, when it's going on hiatus, when it's not going to be on. It's just a pain to follow, especially with the season numbering system.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like,
forget
it makes
about
no,
it.
No rhyme or reason to figure it. Because, it's really hard when I'm going to watch it on my DVR and I'm like, season 2, episode 49?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm watching?
Right.
Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like we have just decided to take it upon ourselves to make our own numbering
system. Renumber the seasons.
Right,
yes.
That is, like, not coinciding with anything that's online. So, whatever.
Right. Yeah, because there's a like continue through a Love During Lockup and then start over the new season when it gets to Love After Lockup.
Yeah.
And it's just
and it makes no
it's
sense.
It's just a mess.
Yeah.
No sense at all.
Yeah.
No
all
sense
right.
at all.
But what does make sense is the fact that we will be back next week. If there's an episode.
Back. We'll be back when
if
the next
there is
episode
an episode.
Is back, for sure.
Yes, we will be back. All right. Until then.
All right. See everybody then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.